A young seminarian was preaching for the very first time in public at his fieldwork church. He had studied his text, done his translations, searched for parallel passages, located wonderful anecdotes, and spent countless hours practicing his manuscript. He was confident that his words were perfect, and he couldn't wait for the compliments of the parishioners at the door after the service. As he readied himself during the sermon hymn, his heart began to swell. His excitement grew, and he felt he was ready. He strutted up to the pulpit, opened his mouth, and nothing came out. He stuttered and stammered and tried with all of his might, but only after a few moments he walked back down to his seat, sat down, hung his head in shame, and felt about as low as he had ever been in his life. He believed he was a failure and unworthy of continuing his seminary education. He was embarrassed, and at the end of the service, he left without greeting anyone at the door. Later that week, he had a meeting with his supervising pastor. His soul was empty. He was ready to eat crow, and as he sat down, he asked, "Why couldn't I speak? What did I do wrong? Why am I such a failure?" And the pastor said, "If you went up the way you went down, you'd be going down the way you went up." You know, to be honest, preparing a sermon is hard work. The day I think I have it figured out is probably the day I should retire. You know, friends, I'm a wreck the night before I preach, and I'm here, a bundle of nerves, doing what God has called me to do. Now, I'm sure you can relate either to my fears of being unprepared or that of our seminarian friend who thought he had it all put together. You know, that margin is razor thin. Am I confident or am I cocky? Am I humble or am I terrified? Humility is a difficult thing. In our human inclination, we're filled with arrogance and conceit. Oftentimes, it masks itself as confidence or the conviction that we know what is right or can always do which is best. The text before us is not an easy one. Luke, the 14th chapter, is where we're going to be, and we're going to start with verse 7. Then Jesus noticed how the guests always chose the places of honor, so he used this illustration when he spoke to them. When someone invites you to a wedding, don't take the place of honor. Maybe someone more important than you was invited. Then your host would say to you, "Give this person your place." Embarrassed, you would have to take the place of least honor. So when you're invited, take the place of least honor. Then when your host comes, he will tell you, "Friend, move to a more honorable place." Then all the other guests will see how you are honored. Those who honor themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be honored. Now, I really believe that this text is more than just social advice when attending the wedding. There's something much deeper here. Now, one might also think that this text is simply moral advice on how to live, but I don't think it's that either. Yes, Scripture calls us to live lives of humility, but if you take a good, hard look at your life, you'll find that living a life of humility is really filled with futility. Let me tell you a story. Tim and Jack were students, and they were arguing on the playground, and one of the teachers overhears and intercedes. "Now, boys, I think you need to learn a lesson in humility. Each of you must compliment the other in front of the class after recess." So after recess, as the students file back into the classroom, the boys stand in front of their classmates. Tim goes first by saying, "I'm sorry, Jack. I'll never be as good of an artist as you." Now, Jack and the rest of the class know that Tim is being sarcastic, as everyone knows that Jack's art is terrible. So Tim replies, "I'm sorry, you will always know more things than I do, Jack." This catches the teacher's curiosity, so she asks, "Can you name one of those things?" To which he replies, "I'll never know what it's like to be so stupid." You know, we humans are masters of self-promotion, and we have an uncanny ability to drag others down as we seek to make ourselves look good. But why does Jesus call us to be humble? Now, as we wrestle with this, and perhaps to begin to answer it, we need to understand that the goal of Christianity is not moral perfection by what we do or by attaining a set of behavioral expectations agreed upon by others. In fact, the Bible is not filled with stories of people who got it right, but those who found futility in a quest for humility. Just go through the stories of the Bible. You'll find countless examples of those who struggled with pride and false humility. We start at the beginning, Adam and Eve, Cain, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, and heck, I'm not even out of the book of Genesis yet. Take a look at your life. I'm guessing you have a lot in common with those in the Bible. You know, in many ways, worship is not a gathering of the holy, but of the lowly. Gathered here, we find the broken, the bereaved, the destitute, and the dead in sin. I think a lot of times people get the wrong impression with the purpose of the Bible and the goal of a Christian for coming to worship. You know, the Bible is not a handbook for living or a recipe for a better life. It contains stories of the broken and the lowly, the proud and the pleased, and points to the only one who is truly humble. You see, our God is a Lord who does nothing but exalt the lowly and lower the exalted. He breaks whatever is whole and makes whole whatever is broken. He does not adhere to social norms and is not focused on simple morality. You see, humility is not something to achieve, but is someone to be believed. Humility is found in only one person, Jesus Christ. Jesus, in humility, became one of us. He gave up his honored position at the right hand of God and came to earth and became a servant. He put aside his glory so that it might be yours. He took up the lowest place so that you might be lifted up. For every time your quest for humility ends in futility, and friends, it's going to happen every time, Jesus is there to nail it to the cross. Every time you think you have it figured out and you don't need Jesus, he is there as the humble servant lifting you up. Friends, we've been called to be humble, but we can't do it. You see, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. John the Baptist seemed to understand this as he prepared the way for Jesus. Some were thinking John was the Messiah, but he told his followers about Jesus by saying, "He must become greater, I must become less." Humility comes to us wrapped in swaddling clothes, tempted in the desert, healing, teaching, leading, and when it looked like all was lost on the day he was hung upon a cross, humility itself was on display, and humility came to defeat sin, death, and the power of the devil. And in that humble act, you are forgiven. And the blessings of humility burst into the world 3 days later as he rose from the dead. In baptism, our futility is drowned, and we rise with Christ. His life becomes our life. Only in the humility of Christ is there the ability for eternity. On this side of eternity, we may find plenty of futility, but we can still seek humility. You see, humility blesses when it gives up what might be desired or expected for the sake of another. We can bless as we cling to Christ to be less. I think John the Baptist had it right. Be less, so that we can bless. That's true humility. All other roads are going to be filled with futility. And when you fail, look to the only humble one, Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you with a few words from Paul's letter to the Philippians. And this is an adaptation from chapter 2. Paul writes, "If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. and having become human, he went to the cross. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life, and then he died a selfless, obedient death, the worst kind of death at that, crucifixion. Now, because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow and worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. For those times you seek humility and only find futility, look to Jesus, the humble one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. We know that humility cannot be found in our ability, but can be found only in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who walked the way of a servant, who died a death meant for us, but rose again so that we can rise. Lord, help us to die to sin and rise to Christ each and every day, and do so with humility. In your name we pray. Amen.